This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's speak to our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to speak with you again.
Been an interesting day, actually, thus far, because in the last few minutes, Nick, we've actually heard from Fed Governor Christopher Waller with some very interesting comments around interest rates going forward.
Yes, Johnny, I've got a couple headlines here that I can just read off some words from Waller here. And remember, you know, we're entering into a time that's very interesting with Fed officials because we have, obviously, Kevin Warsh, you know, stepping into the Fed chair role. And of course, it's not just about what his mantra is, but how the committee around him embraces or pushes back perhaps on certain things that he may be looking to kind of go for in his leadership. And so we are hearing from Fed's Waller this morning, just reading a couple headlines. Quote, "I don't think the Fed should consider hikes in the near future." Here's another one. "I can't dismiss the risk of unanchoring inflation expectations. Hikes are especially needed if inflation expectations unanchor. The labor market is stabilizing, unemployment low and stable, inflation to be driving force in policy decisions ahead." So to me, that sounds like a decidedly more hawkish Fed official. And one thing to notice here is that this came out in the last few minutes, and in the same few minutes, we have seen the dollar jolt higher. And I know we're, you know, digging into the intraday reactions here a little bit, but it tells you more, I guess, just about how the market is very sensitive at this time to where Fed committee direction is going next. And I think that just from what we can see, it does seem like inflation is coming back to the forefront. For quite a while, we were focusing on the jobs market, but stuff has improved in the jobs market side of things. Now, not to say that the jobs market is all rosy and all good, but I think the more obvious concern in the eyes of the Fed officials and the market, for that matter, is inflation. We have this situation in the Middle East, and we've seen this story a few times in the last few years, which is a supply shock. And what does the Fed and global central banks do about it in response? We know these things can cause a steep and sudden rise in inflation. What does the Fed do about it? And I think that's kind of being pointed as the bigger concern here right now in the more obvious pressing worry is inflation. And so we're hearing that reiterated here with Waller. And I do think that that dynamic, it will be very interesting to see as we have Kevin Warsh coming into the Fed chair role, how that dialogue between committee members and during Warsh's press conferences, in his commentary, like, what is his mantra going to be? Is he going to be downplaying inflation? We have heard him on the state of AI be a little bit more on the, you know, it's going to be disinflationary. It's going to actually cause perhaps slow down in the labor market, sounding a little bit more dovish, but at the same time, talking about wanting to reduce Fed balance sheet stuff. And so I think that maybe in the more near term, the question mark arises around whether or not there will be a push to still look to cut interest rates from Kevin Warsh. That will be the interesting thing to note is, are we really going to try and take the proactive, preemptive measure to think, you know, AI is going to cause a slowdown in the jobs market and you're going to cut rates before you even see that slowdown. I mean, that is a very aggressive stance and very different than what we've been used to with Powell's Fed, which has basically been a very kind of data reactive, and of course draws criticism currently from the White House for being quote unquote too late, right? And of course, there's pros and cons to either way of doing things. If Fed officials are too preemptive, they can make missteps and cause mistakes. And if they're too reactive, they can be way too late too in a rising issue. One quick example with, and this is one of the things that Powell definitely caught more criticism around, was the reaction to the pandemic, the inflation being transitory claims. That was more of an example of the Fed being proactive and trying to predict what would happen. thinking that inflation would pass through, and it did not. Inflation kept rising for some time. As we saw stimulus checks, a sudden burst back into hiring, economic stimulus really caused a huge burst in the labor market during that time that has fizzled out and kind of come to a slow in the last few years. So these things are really interesting, and I'm very curious to see, as we hear from Kevin Warsh, where things go next with Fed commentary and direction.
Nick, I'd be interested to hear what effect these comments have had on the dollar. While we've also heard from University of Michigan, how has the dollar been affected by these comments from Waller? And what about this University of Michigan sentiment number?
Yes, so sentiment has been an interesting one to watch recently because gas prices being elevated, right? That's a very obvious thing that the everyday American in this case, or even just globally, feels, right? Rising gas prices are a very quick, painful felt thing. And so sentiment has been an interesting thing because the CB consumer confidence has been down for a while. University of Michigan sentiment also lower than expected here today at 44.8 versus forecasts of 48.2 and a previous number of 48.2. So sentiment, Johnny, is in many ways at very, very low levels. In fact, a lot of these sentiment gauges that are done are at similar to 2008 levels. Like, people are definitely feeling the pinch. We've had a couple years of inflation. We've had interest rates rising. We've had, you know, slow hiring and, of course, gas prices suddenly surging higher. It's understandable why people are challenged. We also know U.S. savings have been depleted largely, and we also know that credit card delinquencies have risen. And so you kind of tie all this together in a bow, and you look at this and you say, okay, well, people are certainly struggling. I think that a sharp drop off if in oil prices and inflation would certainly help if that happens. But we remain in a question mark zone with that. And you asked me also about the dollar there, Johnny. There's something here in this that I think is worth mentioning. A couple months ago, when all of this geopolitical stuff kicked off in the Middle East, we talked about oil prices being elevated for a suspended period of time is really where the pain is, right? It's not necessarily that gas prices jump this week and they decline the next few. What's started to happen here and what's been more painful, I think, for the consumer is that we are approaching around the 90-day mark of where this all began. And we said it back in when this started out, that really the pain is like 90 days above $90 a barrel. That's I heard that floating around. I heard that was kind of a conversation online. But we are approaching that. We've seen, like, I think it's like 75 to 80 days of this conflict, seeing elevated oil prices to that degree. So I do wonder, if that persists, if oil prices remain elevated, gas prices remain elevated, for the longer that goes, the longer that period of time that passes where gas prices continue to sort of keep consumers under pressure, I wonder if that does start to materially hurt the state of the consumer, but also keep inflation expectations elevated. So that is part of the reason I think the dollar is up, right? It's very fair to see that since the start of this war, the dollar has been higher, right? The dollar is up from the start of the war still, despite all of the ceasefire and hopes for discontinuation, the ending of the war, which we have seen again, back and forth headlines since the war begun. So it's a challenging dynamic, and I think consumers continue to watch and wait, hopefully for some kind of resolution to see gas prices come back down.
Okay, let's look to the week ahead, and both here in the UK and where you are in the USA, it's going to be a shorter working week next week with the public holiday on Monday. But what highlights should we look out for?
Yes, Johnny. So Monday will be Memorial Day over in the United States here. So we'll see probably lighter trading activity on that day. On Tuesday, we have Australian CPI, as well as we will hear from the RBNZ. So we'll hear from them, see what their policy outlook is going to be like. On Wednesday, pretty quiet day. If we take a look at Thursday, we, of course, have our weekly unemployment claims out of the United States, as well as preliminary GDP and PCE. So Thursday is probably going to be the big U.S. economic day. On Friday of next week, we'll hear from Governor Bailey from the Bank of England. And of course, CAD GDP numbers also will drop then as well. So a busy week ahead.
Excellent stuff. Have a great long weekend, and we will speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.